welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. Australians love their sport, and we are world champions in many of them. The bad news is we're also champions at rupturing anterior cruciate ligaments as a result of the kinds of sport we love to play. Professor Christopher Vitullo is Director of Knee Research Australia and an orthopaedic surgeon based on the Gold Coast. He is seeing more and more children needing ACL reconstructions. It's a worrying trend and one he says is largely preventable. Professor Vitullo is my special guest on the pod today. During the course of our conversation, he mentions a website called Safe Sport for Kids, which is a national youth sports injury prevention initiative. You can find it at www.safesport.org.au. Professor Vitullo is a co-author of open access research on this topic, published at mja.com.au. Welcome to the pod, Chris. Why did the research need doing?
In my practice, I've been in practice now for about 16 years, I've noticed an increasing trend of catastrophic knee injuries in young individuals. When I say young, talking 18 and under, but we didn't have any great handle on it or numbers. Internationally, there's been increasing recognition that ACL injuries, and in general, most injuries are actually preventable. And my interest in this, when I was working as an orthopaedic fellow at Duke University in 2000, when the first of this work was happening, and one of my mentors there was the US female soccer doctor.
Okay.
And he was initiating prevention programs based on some Italians who 20 years ago did some really groundbreaking research into this and showed that ACL injury is not just bad luck, but it's preventable in the 50 to 80% of individuals, particularly in female.
Is that the difference in structure?
Well, we're not totally sure. A lot of theories, but probably one of the theories is it's all about agility. And so children play less and they tend to be bigger. They have bigger BMI. They're taller, they're stronger. They often, particularly males, go to the gym and work out. And they play one sport often, or they fixate just training for one or two sports. They don't have as much free play. So all those factors are thought to lead to them injuring themselves, being bigger, stronger, faster, but they're not more agile. They're less agile, and that's why they tend to hurt themselves at increasing rate. And so that's something anecdotally we've noticed over the last 15 years. I mean, when I was a surgeon starting out in practice, I hardly ever saw, 15 years or younger. Now I would see a couple of weeks. And so we could see that and when we go around the world, we have orthopedic meetings. This was getting increasingly discussed amongst colleagues that we were seeing an epidemic of significantly severe knee injuries in young people. And the problem with this is that if you have a bit of an overuse injury, you cork your thigh or something, or that doesn't have lifelong consequences. If you tear your ACL, and particularly if you tear a meniscus simultaneously when you are age 15, particularly when you tear a meniscus, you're almost guaranteed of having a knee replacement in the future. And so the risks are, seven times greater, and the burden of injury falls much greater on the younger patients. So it's very hard to tell a 14-year-old who just loves playing their touch football or their footy or something or their netball that perhaps once they've had this injury, that the risk of injury is higher and that they're going to get osteoarthritis. And you can tell their parents, but it's something that, being the father of three sons in that age group, they don't quite understand the long-term implications of the injury.
So let's talk a little bit about the specifics of your research. You used data from the National Hospital Morbidity Database. And what exactly were you trying to measure?
So our outcome measure was rates of ACL reconstruction, and that was a proxy for the actual ACL injury.
Yes.
Because in Australia, we don't record across the country adequately injury diagnosis, enough that we could use. And Caroline Finch is an excellent researcher in this area and published a lot around it. They do have quite good Victorian data, but we didn't really have it nationally. And so we've used that as a proxy for subsequent surgery, that these young people are having injuries and then subsequently having a ongoing reconstruction at some stage.
And what were your major results?
So we looked at the last 15 years.
Yep.
And we saw, as you mentioned, a concerning trend of increasing risk. So the under 25-year-olds, the risk or the rate increased at 3.8% per year of ACL reconstruction or ACL rupture and subsequent reconstruction. In the over 25s, it was 1.7%. So it's not huge there. But particularly concerning was those people 5 to 14-year-olds, where in males we saw a 7.7% annual increase, and in females is even greater at 8.8%. You know, I never hardly ever visited the pediatric ward at my hospital.
Yep.
And now I'm unfortunately a frequent visitor to see my patients after they had their ACL reconstructed in 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds, you know. And, and particularly even when they re-injure themselves, that's terrible.
Yes.
And we also noted that there is a increasing rate of revision of these injuries. So unfortunately, if you're under 18, you have a very high chance, upwards of 25% in some studies. We didn't find such a high rate, found that quite a high risk of re-injury and having to have another operation.
Is that pure physics, or are these kids going back to playing too early? Are they not rehabbing enough?
So there's been a big area in return to sport, and probably that our current suggestions are upwards around a year, but probably there's some evidence that that's probably not even long enough. But it's not specifically time as such. It's actually fitness to return. And that's going back to we're doing a lot of work around return to sport. Is it safe? And that is a person has to have a knee that's stable after surgery, no pain, no swelling. And then they have to go through a program of being able to jump and land and have similar results to their uninjured opposite side.
What kind of movement or stress, what causes an ACL to rupture?
ACL rupture is unique in that the ACL or the knee isn't very well designed. There aren't many muscles actually protecting us from when we step. And so it's usually a stepping injury.
Yep.
Typically they're running, they're changing direction, and they're always trying to avoid another opponent normally.
Right.
So 80% of these are non-contact. No one hits them or touches them. They're typically trying to avoid an opponent, and it's an unanticipated event. So it's an event where, you know, the patient or the injured individual didn't know it was about to happen.
Yeah.
And they step too hard, they step too early, and they have what we call a valgus event to the knee, is where the foot goes out and the knee goes in. And
right.
Often they have some hyperextension involved as well. This is typical, but there are, you know, exceptions to this.
Yeah.
And then the knee essentially dislocates. And so the tibia and the femur come apart.
Yes.
And in doing so, that ruptures. Well, and the allowance of that ruptures the anterior cruciate ligament, and often it's 50% of the time damage to the meniscus simultaneously. And often the patient will hear a pop or a snap. When I do GP educational evenings, one of my first cases I present, just in the case-based learning, is, you know, I have a 15-year-old young female playing AFL,
yep.
And they step and they feel a pop or a snap, and they go down and they come off the field, and you know, what's the likely diagnosis? Well, it's 99% of the time it's a torn ACL. And then what test should they have? And that is, they really should have an MRI. Any young individual comes off after a sporting event, it's enough to their knee, enough they come off the field, irrespective of the examination findings, they really should have an MRI, because unfortunately in Australia, too many MRIs are being done in the older populations that have atraumatic degenerative problems, and really not enough are being done in young people. It's quite the reverse of what it should be. And so I didn't mention the overall numbers. So just to tell you that people under age 25, in that 15-year period, there was an overall growth of almost 75% of ACL reconstructions over that 15 years. You know, that 3.8% a year leads to about 73-74%. It's a growing epidemic.
Does every ACL injury require reconstruction?
Well, this is controversial, and the answer is no, they don't all need surgery. So, and essentially we're limited on consensus views because the data around it is controversial. What we know is that if you have torn your ACL and you're a young person and you decide not to have an operation, you absolutely cannot go back to stepping and pivoting type sport, because within about, if you go back at 6 weeks, you will then pivot and turn and typically often see secondary meniscus damage, which is quite horrific. And that's the problem. There has been attempts to do randomized controlled trials, but they are intrinsically, I'm surprised against your ethics, because if you say, I think your ACL is okay, and off you go and play, You can't predict who's going to tear their meniscus and who's not.
Yes.
And upwards of any studies, 50% or greater who try and then play sports go on and tear their meniscus. And that means they're basically guaranteed a knee replacement. There's some, you know, concerns about the ethics of some of the studies. Now, say some person's an older patient who's torn their ACL playing netball.
Yep.
A typical one is, you know, people falling over when they're skiing in their 50s, and that's it. They're not going to ski again, and they're not going to play stepping, running, top sports. They often don't need surgery, and they can have a trial of non-operative intervention because significant numbers don't have an unstable joint and don't do enough that they're going to go and damage their meniscus. Now, unfortunately, even in those age groups, there are individuals who will come back with meniscus damage. And so even those individuals have to be pragmatically, you know, one of a shared clinical decision-making process with the clinician and the patient as to their risks. But as they get older, the risks of secondary damage get much less. Now, the background of all of this is, that, as I mentioned earlier, 50 to 80% of these are preventable through programs, through training, agility training. So the Australian Orthopaedic Association, in the last 4 years, we've been lobbying the Australian federal government to try and encourage a Australian Sports Commission-led National Sports Injury Prevention Program. We actually, for my colleagues and myself, published a paper in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, November of 2016, and we actually looked at four different targeted programs, and the most cost-effective is targeting high-risk individuals, those people who play high-risk sports,
yes,
netball, AFL, or, you know, touch football, etc., who are aged 12 to 25. And if we actually address those, we can, for every 27 individuals who are exposed to an agility training program three times a week for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, one ACL rupture per year is prevented. And so the health benefits, particularly the cost benefit to both the individual and also nationally, are astronomical. You know, you'll prevent per 100,000 individuals, 850 osteoarthritic cases and 600 total knee replacements for 100,000. We actually did a cost-benefit analysis, and the break-even point is we found that you could actually spend up to $16,000 per participant and still make it cost-effective. Now, these programs are talking are almost essentially free because all we're really looking at is the Australian Sports Commission credential, yes, and make credentialing the trainers, you know, train the trainers to prevent these injuries. And it could be something as simple as a smartphone application,
yep,
an Android iOS.
Yep.
And each time, three times a week, as part when they're training, they just modify some of their warm-up program to be more agility training based. Really as simple as that. And that straight away, you'll save you know, a significant amount of money, basically nationally and also per individual as well. But not only that, you'll actually... The thing you remember at ACL injury, these are normal individuals. They're just going about their daily life, playing football with their friends, stepping, playing netball. They step and
yep,
then suddenly they go down,
yep,
and they have injured their knee, and it is not going to be the same for the rest of their life. But okay, if they step slightly differently, then they don't hurt themselves. They go on and score a try or they get a goal,
yep,
and they go home with their parents and it's all good. It's quite a dramatic, you know, difference in just a little bit of change in the individuals, how they step and land. It's really quite simple. And so once someone's got to be 18 or 19 and they haven't torn their ACL, they don't tend to go on and do it. It's young people,
mm-hmm,
who are bearing the brunt of this. And the amazing thing is that as soon as you start doing it, it easily starts paying for itself straight away because it's so cost effective. And so part of the problem we have is that it's not well understood that these sports injuries are highly preventable. Everyone thinks it's just bad luck, but it's actually not. And in a lot of individuals, it is very preventable with these types of prevention programs. One of the things we've come to realize is that initial ACL rupture,
mm-hmm,
and then subsequent injury, it's an agility issue,
yep,
it's an age issue, but yep, in the last few years, we also realized there's an anatomic basis, and that is the tibial slope. Slope of individuals' tibias, the more sloped your tibia is, the more risk of rupturing your ACL. And if you have a slope of over, say, 12 degrees, with 5 degrees being normal, your chance of, and if you're under 18, if you go and you tear your ACL and you go back to your sport, your ACL risk is very, very high of re-injury. And in those individuals, we are starting to discuss counselling, saying, look, perhaps stepping sports aren't for you. I know you love them, but your anatomy perhaps is and your stepping ability is perhaps not going to be such a great idea for you to return to that sport. Yeah. Most of these are actually netball, touch football, skiing. It's all the sports that, you know, basketball that are discussed.
Yeah.
And so all of those codes actually signed up to our National Sports Injury Prevention Initiative. They all signed on nationally, the AFL. And the AFL are leaders in this. They have been excellent. They have a Footy First program, which some of my colleagues are involved with. AFL is a 360-degree game, and so the risk of ACL rupture in AFL, particularly because of the design of the game, and it's a 360-degree sport where, say, rugby league is more binary, it's front-on, so it's more 180. So the risks are lower in some sports than others. And netball is particularly high as well. Not only 360 that involve jumping and landing, such as AFL does, but some of the rules around it, not being able to step, do increase the risk. And I know they've done a trial many years ago, well, they actually had a reduction in injury with being allowed to step, but for various reasons, it wasn't a rule change.
Well, that's the big message I'm getting, that it's not bad luck, it's bad technique, and you can be taught out of it.
Yeah, and you have to do it. So it's dose-dependent. You just can't do it one session and that's it. It's not being taught out of it. It's actually keeping agile is a better way to think of it. And I'll give you an example. So in Finland, they did this study in netball, in handball players, and they had some money.
Yes.
And they implemented this program across the country, and they had an astonishingly drop in ACL injury. And then they ran out of money, and then it bounced back up to even higher rates. And the government went, oh, okay, there must be something going on. And they re-implemented the program because it's dose-dependent, and then the injury rates went down even lower and have stayed low because you've just got to keep it up. It's got to be part of your regular routine that you do three times a week for 30-minute agility training. And I can tell you in the NRL, the teams who do this and are religious about sports injury prevention, they're the teams who win because they don't hurt themselves. Because you can look at the sports injuries amongst particular sporting teams, and this is where it was born out initially in professional Italian soccer players. They had dramatic reductions in their sport injury, and that's flowed on. That is where it started. But particularly because the burden of injury falls more on the young. You know, if you tear your ACL and tear a meniscus at 40, well, it's not great, but it's not that bad. If you tear it at 14 or 12 or 11, that 8-year-old, if you tear your ACL and your meniscus at 8, your knee is in a grave danger of needing a knee replacement at a young age. And I do a lot of knee replacements, and a knee replacement's a good operation when you're 75 and you have advanced knee osteoarthritis. But when you're a 45-year-old carpenter who's just really not, he's got moderate knee osteoarthritis, it's not a great operation at all, and high dissatisfaction and high failure rates. And so if we can just prevent these people having an ACL rupture in the first place, it would be dramatic.
Chris, thanks for your time.
Oh, no, no problem.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.